Blog Talk Radio.
I said, friend, let me get that for you, as he rolled his wheelchair toward the door of the restaurant I was going in. I helped the old fella through the door. I could see that his hat said he served in World War II. I shook his hand and said, friend, let me buy dinner for you. He said, son, I wish everyone felt like you do. I watched a tear roll from his eyes. He said, grace. And as he sat there and he talked to God, my heart was in my throat. As I heard him ask, we'd all find a better way. And he said, if we keep on going the way we're going, we're headed for hell on a fast train, not knowing how we got there or how we're gonna come back. They've taken the U right out of the USA and broke the right arm off of the Statue of Liberty. Put out the torch that lights our way. Then they say that it's all politically correct. Help us stand up now, God, or there won't be no America left. Said, son, for God and country, I lost my legs on Omaha Beach. But that's nothing compared to what thousands lost if we continue being free. Once again he said, well, if we keep on going the way we're going, we're headed for hell on a fast train, not knowing how we got there or how we're gonna come back. They're stomping and burning our stars and stripes, not giving a damn for the sacrifice of life that protects that very right. Yet they say it's just the way that they protest. Help us stand up now, God, or there won't be no America left. America lives. America.
Tune for more gross, stupid, and morally deficient funny stuff like you.
Hey, what's happening, man? What's happening? Welcome to the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show. I am your host, Jeremy Johnson, and I am on here with my co-host, Chris Bikerson. Chris, how are you doing this fine American evening?
You know what? I get knocked down, but I get up again. You're never going to keep me down. I stayed north of the weather the last couple of days. So I'm cold, but I'm trying. I'm not in a ditch.
Damn, bro. I thought you were going to break out in a Britney Spears tune there for a second. I don't know, man. What the hell's going on? You're feeling lively tonight, huh?
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, that there's nothing like that rush of trying to get parts and get the switchboard set up and everything. Last minute, it seems like always, no matter what. So that always gets my adrenaline pumping a little bit.
Yeah, thank God you got parked and got the switchboard moving, because I'm still rolling, because they had a snowstorm down in Missouri last night, so I kind of got a little bit delayed today. I'm usually up here, sitting up here at 4 o'clock in the afternoon and ready to rock and roll, but I'm only a few miles out now, so we're still good. I can still do it live going down the road, but We got a lot to talk about tonight. We're going to get to the organizing of the Freedom Convoy. Actually, it's been renamed to the People's Convoy, where it's going to be led off by truckers and great American folks alike in their cars and their trucks on their quest to Washington, D.C., their journey to Washington, D.C., because the Americans are fed up. We're going to get to that, and we're going to talk about the fact that Facebook come in and they took down the Convoy to D.C. Facebook group, which had 130,000 members, which we knew was going to happen. But not only did they do that, they went in and completely scrapped and erased and deleted numerous personal accounts, mine included, me and Mike Landis, Tony Hayden. And Tony's never said nothing about anything. I mean, on his personal page, he doesn't talk about nothing except for fishing and hunting. So that was pretty ridiculous. So I was somebody reached out to me and said, hey, you see what happened? I want to offer our legal team. And I said, hey, all right, let's do it. So they're currently in research mode right now and are going to represent me as David because we're going to go after Goliath. So it's David versus Goliath, little old me. Well, big old me. That is a fat joke, by the way. Big old me going after Facebook and Meta. And this censorship bullshit because you disagree with one's political views is got to stop on both sides. We can what happened to the America where we can disagree, you know, or agree to disagree? You know, oh, I don't like that you voted Democrat. Oh, I don't like that you voted Republican. You know, what happened to I voted American? That's what it's all about. But you know, Facebook, it's their platform, so I get that. However, there's a little thing in there called discrimination, and that's not the grounds on what we are filing lawsuit on. The fact that they deleted the group because they said they had QAnon messages in it or a supporting QAnon theory. I did witness a couple different times under chat where somebody would put that WWG one, you know, where we go one, we go all, you know, that whole QAnon thing that they do, which is fine. I feel they have that right to express how they feel. Whether I agree with it or not, that doesn't matter. What matters is that they have the freedom to share their opinion, and they said, where we go one, we go all. So I left it. I didn't even actually think about it. Honestly, I thought, well, big deal. So somebody said that. It's not like they were committing, you know, a murder or something like that. They weren't trying to threaten anybody. They just said, where we go one, we go all. Great. So they have beliefs in that. Perfect. I love it. So Facebook decides to delete that group on that grounds that it was QAnon, right? So what they did then is go in and delete my personal account, Tony's personal account, Mike Landis's personal account, and numerous others' personal accounts, some of which are up in Canada, involved in the Freedom Convoy up in Canada. That's where there's a problem, because not on any of our pages do we have anything that resembles that conspiracy theory or that ideology of where we go one, we go all, the QAnon stuff. Whether you agree in that or believe in that or don't believe in it, that is your opinion and your beliefs, and you have every right to believe in that. But I didn't have anything on my page about any of that, none of it on my personal page. So really, honestly, they're grasping at straws. We know why we got shut down. And now I'm starting to receive threatening messages, text messages, and I'm going to read that text message to you live on air, basically as a big middle finger in the face of whoever sent it to me because they think they're going to intimidate me. The first thing I did with it is screenshotted it and I sent it over to the attorneys. And now we're she's looking into it. I'm not worried about it. You're not going to intimidate me. Bottom line, I'm not going to allow that to happen. So we are going to find out who sent it, and then we'll go from there. But I'm going to read it to you here. Hold on. I'm trying to back into a spot here so I can get you guys get my full undivided attention, which would be sweet, huh? I'm almost there, by the way. Okay, so this text message is said, okay, let me get to it. It says, Mr. Jeremy Johnson, present. We are aware your group hijacked the original operation of joint forces. The consequences of obstructing government operations have severe consequences from federal law. Therefore, the groups were shut down, including profiles. You have taken this mission upon yourself as a sole organization of all groups and members now from the original. You are on your own. We wish you well and luck. You will need it. Can I just say something? Fuck off. I ain't scared of you. You want to sit here and threaten me and try to intimidate me? It ain't going to work. You think we're going to stop because you send me a little message that you think is intimidating? Not happening. I'm not buying that bullshit. So there you have it, Chris. There's my day and week in a nutshell. And then I'll get into more of the planning aspects of it as we go on with the show. But what do you say, Chris, about all this big tech censorship? Hell, Robert Malone. Hell, sitting president of the United States, Donald Trump. Let's go right down the line of the big names that have gotten booted or banned off of social media apps because they hold a different opinion than what the official narrative is. So, Chris, why don't you touch base on that and tell me what you think on that.
Well, to start with, you know, we've got some of our people out there, our support network, their support to us, and we are support to them. We all kind of have our individual skills and whatnot. There we go. There's an old boomer word, whatnot. They've already determined that this phone number that you got the threat from is linked to a burner phone, what they call it. Basically, if you go to the cell phone store and you buy one of those prepaid phones and you can register them under a false name, whatever, it's not linked to like a permanent account with a carrier. And that's why they call them burner phones. You know, you can use it to do your business, and then you can burn the phone, destroy it, get rid of it, you know, and it makes it pretty hard for investigators to ever make a case and prove who was using that phone or why. So this came from a scam little phone number, a burner line. The feds don't operate like that. Their intimidation, I've dealt with their intimidation. When they really want to intimidate you, they show up at your front door. They follow you. And they make it really obvious that they're following you when they're trying to intimidate you. They'll let you see their car. They'll follow you for days on end, everywhere you go, and they'll make sure that you see that they look like federal agents, and they got their little computer mounted, you know, on their console. So I know what the feds' intimidation operations look like. Sending you a text message from a burner phone is not how they operate. So this is probably some pissant that got butt hurt, and that's trying to scare us. And, well, we've been around the block a few times as activists in the last few years. So, we're not going to scare easy like that. As far as the censorship stuff, you know, there's a lot of legal arguments that are starting to come forward from some legal scholars. And basically, the argument is whether or not the social media big tech platforms fall under what's known as common law. Basically common carriers. And the biggest example I'm going to give you here is phone service. Okay. Phone service is a public utility. Reason being, even though they own most of the phone lines, et cetera, that you use, there is a lot of publicly owned utilities that are also injected into that system for that network to operate. And so it becomes a public utility that's kind of monopolized, and therefore it's subject to federal regulation, et cetera. Bottom line here, AT&T or Sprint or whoever they cannot deny you phone service. Whether you are a white supremacist, neo-Nazi, a Black Panther, a communist, socialist, far-right, alt-right, you know, whatever you are, they cannot deny you service based upon that. They can't sit down and scrutinize your phone calls and say that you are supporting fringe groups because you're calling fringe groups or texting fringe groups or anti-government groups. Bottom line, phone service is a common carrier-protected public utility. They have to provide you phone service as long as you are legally able to obtain that service and paying for it. And a lot of people are arguing that social media platforms are the same and should be subject to that because this is the way pretty much most of the information in the internet age gets moved about between people. And there is a lot of publicly owned infrastructure that goes into what allows these platforms to operate. And they do kind of have a monopoly of control over that information. And essentially the argument that's coming out is they should be treated no different than a phone company. They should not be able to censor people. I know the argument is that, well, you know, they're a private business, and I've heard that from a lot of people. You know, private businesses can do what they want, and I've heard that argument used, you know, like example for vaccine mandates from private employers. Well, okay, well, let's use that argument. Where else can they go with that? Can they order that all their employees get vasectomies or get their tubes tied so that they can keep their medical insurance down? I mean, they're a private company. They can do whatever they want, right? No, I don't think so. It does not work that way. But anyway, without getting into all that, I think that in the future, what we're going to see, there's so much public demand now. The censorship is so rampant and so one-sided to one political ideology. I think this common carrier argument is probably going to find its way into our court system soon. And if we get the right people, because obviously the party in power right now supports it because the censorship works in their favor. But if we ever have any kind of changing of the political tide in D.C., I think you're going to see some people that are favorable to regulating these platforms the same way they do common carriers like the phone services. And they say, look, you can no longer discriminate on your users' political ideologies or who they're associated with, you know. Speech is speech, and you can't step in and shut it down because you don't like it. That's just that's my 2 cents, although I think I just gave you about a buck and 2 cents worth, but there it is.
Hey, I don't mind. I mean, that's good. It's always good to hear different perspectives and different views, and actually you hit the nail on the head with the phone service, about denying phone service and social media, and you know, denying people because of their political beliefs. So cancel culture is alive and well, ladies and gentlemen. And you know, I hear people from the left side cheering it on, saying, well, good, you know, because you support something differently than what they did, you know, you're just a Trump tard, you know. You know, they always come up with the most uneducated responses, like they're so intellectually superior to you that it just, like, I used to argue with them, and then I'm like, why would you argue with stupidity? It just makes you stupid to argue with stupidity. So I try not to even engage in those conversations anymore, because it makes my life a lot easier. But hey, I just wanted to remind everybody, first, if you are listening online, or you want to call in and you want to talk and you want to share your opinion on social media censorship or censorship in general, you're welcome to call the guest call-in number at 516-387-1733. And when you do get through and you're on the air, you're on the line listening over your phone, you're going to need to press the number 1 to get in. That will let my switchboard know, hey, I want to talk. I've got something to say. And even if you are in opposition of what I say, or what Chris says, you're welcome to get on here. Everybody's voice matters. Everybody's opinion matters. We can agree to disagree. It's okay. Again, that number is 516-387-1733. Make sure you press the number 1. And by the way, let me just thank Unplugged Radio for this platform. If it wasn't for them, you guys would really have a hard time finding me because, again, I got permanently banned off of Facebook. I'm back on TikTok, but I already am in I'm already in lockdown on there for the next 3 days. And you want to know why they locked me down this time? Because I had a knife and I cut the Carhartt patch off of my sweatshirt, and they said I was promoting violence. So they know who I am on social media land, and it's not like it's the social media apps. It's the government knowing who I am and knowing that I'm on social media, and they're telling the social media apps to shut me down because I got a big mouth. Let's just put it that way. I don't shut up, and I'm not going to shut up, and you're not going to intimidate me. People think that they're going to scare me. And I want to tell you something right now. If by chance we have one of you little basement-dwelling turds listening, I'm going to shoot you. Oh, come and get me, dude. You think I'm really scared of death? I've lived long enough. I'm good. I've had fun in my life. My religious beliefs far outweigh, again, they far outweigh your puny, incomprehensible bullshit thoughts of your politics and what your socialist ideologies are. I really don't give a flying shit. I really don't care. You're not going to intimidate me. So on that note, I do see we have a caller, and I want to get to the callers because, honestly, my voice doesn't matter. It's your voice that matters, and everybody needs to hear your thoughts and your opinions. So caller ending with 0178. I'm going to bring you live on air right now. Caller 0178. And who do we have on the air tonight?
Hey, guys. It's Darren Goff calling in from Montana. I had a pleasure to talk to you earlier today, and you asked me to join you for a little bit. So I thought I'd come in and give you 1 minute if you got it.
You can have more than 1 minute, Darren. I appreciate you calling in, and it's awesome that you're calling in because I want our audience to hear what you have to say, where you're from, who you represent, and us going to be embarking on the People's Convoy here in the next, within the next month. It's imperative that people hear from all the different groups that are in support of what is going on. So with that, Darren, I'm going to give the floor to you, and you just tell the people who you are and go ahead and go at it, brother.
Hey, thanks so much. Yeah, I'm proud to be a co-founder and executive director of a group called Restore Liberty, which is a nationwide grassroots organization that we love to be able to put behind you guys in any way that is helpful to you. And so we'll be in touch and looking forward to coordinate along with that. But one of those spinoff pieces that we've got under Restore Liberty is a thing called Move Freely America, where we've been working to try to unite transportation industry across the country, air, land, and sea, and many other industry types, to let the people of this country know who truly runs this country, what makes us function. Majority of the people already know that, but our government seems to clearly have forgotten that, and they need to be reminded that we are a nation of we the people. Even in our disagreements, we need to remain united, and we're not going to get along with everybody. We're not going to agree with everybody, but to do what the government's been doing lately is just way out of bounds per our Constitution, per our founding principles in every way. And I love what you guys are doing, and I applaud how you're doing it, not only from the actual organization, but your public relations and how you talk to people and let that message be passed about unity, about the ability to disagree in ways that allow everybody to speak freely, but that mandates and all this overreach are not the way to solve anything in a constitutional representative republic like we are. And so we in Restore Liberty, we stand behind you and are happy to help in any way we can, big or small. With Move Freely America, we plan to help as well. We are built for decades and for days, whatever is needed. And I look forward to seeing everything you're going to do. As you release that information about what's happening, I look forward to seeing that and stepping in. Our website is restoreliberty.org. We're based out of Helena, Montana. We're in 35 states so far, and you would love every single one of us, as I'm sure we would love every single one of you. So I'll hand it back to you, but thank you again so much for what you're doing, and I'm just happy to be on the edge supporting it any way we can.
Darren, I appreciate you calling in tonight and explaining to our audience who you are, what you do. It's important that we get all of us Patriots together on one page as we move forward with the journey that we're about to embark on, number one. You know, number two, we will be in contact with you in the very near future. As you well know, we are working, well, maybe you didn't know this, Darren, but we are now working with freedomfighternation.org. With attorney Lee Dundas and her assistant. Yep, we are working with them now. We are officially with them now. So that is a huge move on our part and their part. We're together. You know, this is about our freedoms. And, you know, it goes a lot further past our mandates. You know, we have families at the northern border that are, you know, they haven't seen their families for two years. But anyway, Darren, I thank you for coming on, and I look forward to talking to you in the near future, okay?
Yeah, same here. I love it. We just want to be part of your team and not nothing more than that.
All right. Thanks, Darren. I appreciate you. Thanks. All right, everybody. That was Darren from RestoreLiberty.org. Go over there to RestoreLiberty.org, and you can check out their website. I talked to him today. A down-to-earth, nice guy, true American. But I want to get back to something. When I was talking about the families on our northern border, Canada and in the States, I went to Pembina, North Dakota last week with a small group of truckers, and we went up there to do a freedom convoy up to the border to support Canada and their freedom convoy, to let them know that we're paying attention down here in the United States. We got criticized from even people in our own inner circles and in our own industry, well, what are you going to do now with four trucks? And they don't even get the basic concept of what we're doing. They think that we think that we're so influential that we were actually going to go up to the border and all of a sudden the mandates were magically going to disappear. I mean, that's how simple-minded some of these folks are. And the fact of the matter is we went up there just to show our support. And we took a day out of our time to go up there to do that. Not to mention, nobody funded us to go up there, so it cost me $350 of fuel to go up there. And again, my only day off I had last week, I used it to do that. Why? Because it's important to show unity, not just in our country, but worldwide. I mean, if you can't get that through your head, I don't know what the hell's wrong with you. Seriously. Go get your brain checked. Or get a lobotomy, one of the two, anyway. But anyway, so as I was up in Pembina with Tony and Will and Paul, numerous other guys, people that traveled from all over Minnesota, families. I met a family. Two of their daughters were there, and they had a sign on their truck that said, I keep freedom. I can't wait to see my grandparents again. There's something on those lines. They both, one of them drew a little art piece that had an American flag and a Canadian flag with a little archway that said freedom on it. And on the top of the picture, it had the little girl grabbing onto grandma's hand, and I can't wait to see grandma again, or something on those lines. And honestly, I seen that, and I just started, I mean, my tears were rolling. And the other girl wrote a poem. And I'm telling you what, the fact that we have American citizens here that are American citizens, the mom of that family was Canadian. Her parents live up in Canada yet. She married into an American man. They live here in America, up by the Bemidji area, I'll just put it that way. And they haven't been able to see, she hasn't seen her mom and dad for 2 years. The father hasn't seen his in-laws for 2 years. The kids haven't seen their grandparents for 2 years. And the grandparents haven't seen their grandchildren for 2 years, all over these mandates and these ridiculous rules that they put in place in the name of COVID measures, safety measures, they call them. I call them communist measures because that's exactly what they are. So now just think about this for a second. That's just one story I heard. Last week on air, we had numerous people calling in crying because they haven't seen their family members for a very long period of time. Crying, ladies and gentlemen. And the rest of this country go about their day with no gives a shits. They don't care because it doesn't affect them. While I refuse to sit back and watch people suffer in our own country that they have done nothing wrong. They just want to live their lives. They just want to see their families. While they have the southern border in this country wide open, no mandates. They don't have to get the vaccine when they come across the border. As a matter of fact, they get put on buses and airplanes and shipped all over the country. And you folks just sit back. I shouldn't say you folks, some of you folks, ignorant folks, mainly on the left. And I'm sorry I have to put it that way, but it's true. Because a lot of the people I talk to that are on the right already know this is happening, and they're pissed about it. But those folks sit back, and they watch this all happen. Or they don't know it's happening because CNN sure in the hell ain't going to report on it. Their eyes are glued to that mainstream media bullshit. And they refuse to dig into things other than what their TV is telling them. There's a reason they call it programming, ladies and gentlemen, because they're frickin' programming you. So you want to sit back and not say a word that every time Jen Psaki or the Biden administration's asked about the southern border, they dodged that question like a skinny lady on a diet who's offered chocolate cake. They are trying to run as fast as they can away from that question. That should tell you everything you need to know right there. Why can't you answer the question? Why won't you do something at the southern border? Because their plan is in motion, whatever that plan is. And our guess is that they're flooding the border with these illegals and that are now in America and are free and will more than likely vote blue. And why do you think they're pushing so hard so you don't have to have an ID to vote? Why are they pushing so hard to let undocumented illegal immigrants vote in our elections? I mean, it's just mind-boggling to me. Just completely mind-boggling. I see we got another caller, and wow, hey, look at this guy. Let's bring Mr. Taylor Barker on the air tonight. Taylor, how are you doing tonight, brother?
How's it going, Jeremy? Doing all right tonight?
Hey, I'm living the dream, man.
Hey, brother, I just wanted to, I ain't going to take up much of your time. I just want to come on here and just say thank you on behalf of my industry, man. You know, ever since I've known you for the last couple of years, watching you thrive on TikTok and Facebook and you and a few other folks like Brian Brazzi and the USTA crew and just different a couple other truckers out there. You guys have been die hard to do nothing but help the industry in which you're a part of. And you guys have used your vacation times for the past few years to make things happen in the industry, to fight for the rights of truckers, going to D.C. every time an issue happened in our industry. It's you guys that initiate this, you especially, you know. So I just wanted to say on behalf of my industry, which is trucking as well, I just want to say thank you, man. You've been an outstanding role model in everything that you do trucking. So I just wanted to say that.
Hey, I appreciate that, man. Especially coming from you, man. I've always admired what you do also, and coming from you, that's an honor, man. I appreciate that.
Yeah, man,
you.
I just like to say, just me. Brian Hutchin calls me the funny guy because I like to crack jokes. You know, I don't get serious about a whole lot. I play a little music at the truck shows to entertain a little bit, but you know, just to pass the time. But when it comes down to getting the work done, man, I try to keep up with you guys. I show up to these events, man. I can't hold a light, you younger guys. You guys are just you're up at 6 o'clock, 5-6 o'clock in the morning when we go to D.C. You know, you don't go to bed till freaking 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, and you guys are just you guys are just outstanding, man. I can't keep up with you when I come to these events, but I just wanted to just say thank you, dude, and the good work. And I will always use my platform to back you guys and help you guys get the word out. You guys have just been phenomenal. And for that, and for what your role is with the convoy, my God, dude, you guys have got it going on, man, and I'm on your side. And I just wanted to let y'all know that just thank you for what you're doing. You're going to make a difference in history.
Man, I hope so. And again, I appreciate that, Taylor. Wait until you hear some of the news that's going to be coming out in the next couple of days. It's going to blow your mind. I didn't understand how big it was until I realized when I got explained what was really going on. It blew my mind. I'm like, holy shit, that's huge. That's rock star status stuff. I mean, it's crazy.
And dude, this is happening because of a truck driver that has a northern accent, you know, but that got up out of bed one day and said, I ain't going to take this shit anymore. That's just why this is happening. It's guys like you and Mike and Brian, and you know, you guys are good role models, man. I appreciate you. And that's all I want to say. And give back your airtime to you. I just wanted to say thank you, man, and just keep rocking it on, dude. You're doing a great job.
All right, man. I appreciate you again, Taylor. Catch you later, man. All right, everybody. That was Taylor Barker and my man from Unplugged Radio that gave us this platform right here, Unplugged Radio. And, again, if it wasn't for him, guess what? We wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be hearing us. And, you know, he mentioned something, you know, a northern white feller with a northern accent got up out of bed one morning and said, I ain't going to take this shit anymore. It wasn't just me. It was, at least half of America. I think it just took a group of us to get together and say, you know what? Enough's enough. Nobody seems to be doing anything. Maybe it's time that we do something. Maybe we need to get this ball rolling because we can't sit back and just let them continuously. The healthcare workers just getting, well, you can't come to work no more because you're not going to get vaccinated. School teachers, law enforcement, military. What did they say? 30,000 military members are going to walk off the job or get their walk-in papers because they don't want to get the vaccination? Do you blame them? Oh, especially with all the information coming out about them? I don't. But I see we got another caller, Brian. Let's bring Brian on air and see what Brian's got to say tonight. All right, Brian, you're on the air. How are you doing tonight, brother?
Living the dream.
What do you got to add to the conversation?
Well, kind of a weird thought here that has popped in my head, but for the longest time, I've seen a lot of these, you know, protests and whatnot about ELDs and this, that, and the other, and I've never really got involved in a whole lot of that stuff because the messaging is scattershot. Is all hell, if you'll excuse the language there. You know, you ask what they're protesting. They're protesting high fuel prices and ELDs and this and that. Yeah, it's like, this work, the message has got to be concise and coherent. And more important, logically consistent. Now, I don't mean to pick on you when I say this, but, you know, you seem to be pretty upset about government mandates of this, that, and the other, and then in another breath, you want the government to mandate something else. So it's kind of one of those things, like, if we're wanting liberty, then do we have to be consistent in that? Like, no more extra laws layered on top of things because it makes us feel better. It's just no more extra laws and get rid of some of the ones that are currently there. Or at the very least, just enforce the ones we currently have.
Well, discrimination works on both sides, though. You know what I'm saying? Discrimination works when you force somebody to do something that they don't want to do. And then discrimination also works when you take away something that of somebody's that wasn't necessarily theirs to take away. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I absolutely agree with you on that. And the Facebook thing, it's difficult because in part, they should be treated as a common carrier. I'm blunt and honest with you about that. But the other side of the coin is they shouldn't as well because they're not. And frankly, I'm not actually convinced that we ought to have common carrier laws. But the problem with Facebook, more precise, is they lobby the government to give them those special considerations because they're not editorializing. They're publishing, but they're not editorializing, so therefore nobody can sue them for defamation. And then they'll go on and start editorializing by editing people, kicking them out, and so on and so forth. So that's a case in which if we just simply follow the law, that takes care of itself. Then all of a sudden we can sue Facebook for defamation.
I was following the law on my personal accounts, you know what I mean? I wasn't advertising for QAnon. I wasn't promoting QAnon. That's the excuse they made for us to for our accounts to be deleted. So, you know, wouldn't that fall under the discrimination aspect of things? Like, you know, how can you just remove somebody's off of a whim? You know what I mean?
Oh, I agree with you on that. I do. I'm getting lost in the weeds here. I guess more specifically, the point I was driving at, and I got sidetracked by the Facebook thing, is I have absolutely no influence on the planning, logistics, and otherwise messaging of the protest. But if anybody is listening who is in that category, all I'm saying is make sure the messaging is clear and it's concise and it's consistently logical. That's what I'm basically getting at. And you'll get guys like me who, I'm sorry, I'm not going to take time out of my day and go protest fuel prices because there's nothing anybody really could do about that other than, I guess, yeah, there's some things that can be done, but I mean it's a losing fight on that instance because that's market and so on and so forth. Now, if we had logical, consistent arguments about, you know, rolling back some regulations on whatever, and frankly speaking, I think the truck drivers are in a very unique place that, yeah, we can protest pretty much any regulation and shut the country down because, well, I hate saying it, but we're kind of all Americans, aren't we? Therefore, it affects us. So you're going to get more guys, like I said, like me, that are willing to take time off and so on and so forth if the arguments are logical and consistent. And like I said,
no,
I'm not trying to pick on you or anybody else.
I agree with you. But, Brian, here's the thing, too. Like you said, I wouldn't go and protest for gas prices for one day. And you know what? That's the beautiful part about freedom. You don't have to. What irritates me is when, let's say, I get four trucks together and we do go protest a day on gas prices. Some of the people in this industry they feel the need to criticize you for doing that because they wouldn't do that and they're not going to do that, which is fine. We just say this is what we're going to go do, and then we face harsh criticism, very harsh criticism, honestly, because we chose to stand up for something, and that's where I kind of draw the line. Like if you don't want to be involved, don't be involved. That is more than okay. But for God's sake, don't sit back and criticizing the very people that are trying to help you, that'll benefit you if they were successful on their protests. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, I absolutely agree with you on that. And if you'll allow me a minute more here, you mentioned an idea of the agree to disagree. Now, for the most part, I actually do agree with that sentiment. Hey, let's agree to disagree. For instance, you're going to protest the gas prices, fuel prices. I'm not because it's not going to do us any damn good. Well, you know, hey, you want to take time out of your day, you want to spend fuel to go do it, hey, you do it. Cool, you do you. Here's where I have a problem with the agree to disagree. Right now, we have two very opposing arguments in the country. We have two opposing sides. We have one side that says, hey, just leave me be. Leave me alone. And you have another side that says, no, do what I say or I'm going to shoot you in the face. I can't agree to disagree on that. When we're talking
that's
about...
That's a good point.
When we're talking about negotiating away my freedom and my security, and I'm not saying, like, give me a little bit of your freedom and I'll give you some security. I'm talking about my personal security. That's not an agree-to-disagree scenario. There is absolutely no way in hell you can ethically negotiate your freedom away. It's just not possible. So in that instance, agree to disagree doesn't work. And that's where we find ourselves in a lot of the stuff.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, agree to disagree only works it only works 100% of the time, 60% of the time. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
But, you know, I was talking to a lady today from Canada. I've become good friends with her. She's the admin to Convoy to Ottawa 2022 restart page. She was been involved in the planning of the convoy in Canada from the whole, from the beginning. Very nice person. Anyway, she said she was at the store, and this lady asked her if she was vaccinated, and she said no, and she goes, you need to go get vaccinated, and she goes, why? She goes, to protect me, and she goes, but you're vaccinated. Why, you're already protected. She goes, it doesn't work all the time, and she said, I just looked at her and said, I just looked at her, turned around, and walked away. I can't argue with stupidity, because this is literally what these people have been programmed into believing and brainwashed into believing by watching their frickin' TV 24/7 through this pandemic, because they weren't allowed to leave their house. So they, and honestly, think about this for a second. If you're the government and you want to program the people, brainwash the people, whatever you call it, indoctrinate them. You issue these draconian lockdowns where people cannot even go to work. They can't barely go to the store. They're forced to sit and watch the TV all day. What do? You get the news channels, the news media, the mainstream media to do nothing but scare the living shit out of them by talking about COVID all day, every day, for months on end. And basically you're gaslighting them, you're fear-mongering. I mean, the whole works. What better plan than to do that? And look what it's done to half or more of the population. They think that now that everybody has to get vaccinated, save lives. And then you have leaders coming out and say the unvaccinated are getting people sick. When there was just a Senate hearing or a congressional hearing last week with the group that we're involved with, freedomfighternation.org, human rights attorney Lee Dundas, and another gentleman, and they presented evidence to Ron Johnson, and I watched a four-minute clip of it, and it was outstanding. They were talking about people that are sick in the hospital. 70% were vaccinated that were COVID positive. 70%. So if this vaccination works so well, why the hell are they vaccinated to getting sick? And Lee Dundas comes up, and she comes out with numbers from the military, how they've been doctoring numbers. Last August, a certain number of adverse side effects involving soldiers was at 175 last August. If you look at that number today, it's at like 32 or 17 or something, whatever that number is. It's a drastic drop. They're manipulating the data. And the biggest number that was scary is that normally there's like 1 million adverse effects of a vaccine. Last year there was 21 million involving adverse vaccine side effects. 21 million. It went up 20 million. And Ron Johnson holds up two sheets of paper. They're both completely black. And he goes, see this, ladies and gentlemen? And the camera went onto that black paper. He goes, this is what I get when I ask for data. This is what I get, completely redacted. I'm telling you what, if you watch that, go to Lee Dundas's Facebook page, Lee Dundas. It's L-E-I-G-H and then D-U-N-D-A-S, Lee Dundas, freedomfighternation.org. Go to her Facebook page, or her Twitter, or any of her social media. Find that video and watch it. It'll blow your frickin' mind. It's amazing. But anyway, Brian, I appreciate your views as always. And you know what? Me and you don't always agree, and sometimes we agree a lot, and sometimes we don't. That's cool. We always appreciate your opinion, and thanks for getting on. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, and part of that is neither one of us is threatened to shoot the other if we don't agree with him. So that helps.
Exactly. No, and that's right. And that I can appreciate. So anyway, thanks, Brian, for calling in. You have a safe ride tonight, all right?
Good day, Brian.
All right, everybody. That was Brian. He calls in on occasion, and we always enjoy, honestly, really, I enjoy everybody that calls in and wants to share their opinion and their thoughts, and you're welcome to, and you don't have to agree with me. I mean, this isn't a totalitarian radio show where I tell you how I feel, and you better agree with it, or you're not getting on air. No, you get on here, and you disagree with me all you want, and we'll have a conversation. Anyway, I got another caller. Let's grab that. Before I grab that other caller, I just want everybody to know that if you're listening and you want to call in and share your opinion, or you want to call in and call me an asshole, that's fine too. That phone number is 516-387-1733. 516-387-1733. And when you get through and you get on through on the phone, just press the number 1. That'll let my switchboard know that, hey, I want to talk now. My turn. And we'll put you through. We truly will. Now, that's 516-387-1733. And, again, thank you again to Unplugged Radio for giving us this platform and allowing you guys to freely express yourself uncensored. Let's go to this next caller, Chris. 7615. 7615. You are on the air right now.
Good
and
evening,
who do we
Jeremy.
Have tonight?
Good evening, Jeremy.
Good
it's
evening.
Janet from Canada.
Well, hi. How are you?
I spoke to you on Messenger last week. Good and yourself.
Good.
Yeah,
I'm hanging in there.
I spoke with you on Messenger last night. I was explaining to you last week about the issues with the vaccines pertaining directly to me. I am a Canadian cross-border trucker. I was. Got injured in L.A., in October, just before the mandates started coming in, and found out last week that because my company has a mandate in place on top of the federal mandates that are out there, when I'm ready to do modified duties again physically, I will be probably losing my compensation benefits because I can't get vaccinated due to some medical issues I already have. And, I'll be out of work, out of money. It's just, it just sucks.
You know, I said that to you through, well, I don't have Messenger anymore, in case you haven't noticed.
Yeah, I noticed,
yeah. Facebook, they took my Facebook accounts down involving, that means Instagram and Messenger all gone. I don't have any of it. So it sucks because I was making a lot of really neat connections in Canada, including you and numerous other people, and hearing so many heart-touching stories. And it just – yours was one of them. You know, what the governments are doing, not just in America but Canada and worldwide, they're coercing people to take this vaccine. And the companies that have these policies that aren't being forced on them by the government – are no better than what the government is, in my opinion. And they're no better than what the Holocaust and the Nazis were, what the Nazis were in Nazi Germany. It's ridiculous. I just can't believe how many people are going along with this and cheering it on. I just don't understand it.
Yeah. Well, and I think Canada is starting to come to the realization when they hear Trudeau repeatedly saying, I won't talk to anybody who I don't support. If it's something I don't agree with, I'm not talking to them. And he has a tendency, anyone that's blue collar, hardworking is beneath him. So, the country, both Canada and the U.S., is built on the backs of hardworking men and women. And if the government doesn't want to listen, then eventually as what's happening now, from what I've seen in Parliament, you know, a lot of the people are getting booted out of the Parliament building. You know, it's just, it's eventually going to happen. It's just, you know, it's going to take some time now.
Yeah, I seen that you have a lot of Parliament that's actually supporting the truckers. Am I right on that?
Yeah, I was watching one of the sessions last night, I believe. It was from yesterday. And I couldn't believe how many on all sides were, you know, they were just badgering Trudeau, like, seriously, you've got to deal with this. You can't keep running away and hiding. And that's exactly what he's doing. On Friday, when he claimed he had been exposed to COVID, you know, on Friday when he
yep.
said that, I said to everybody I knew and even put it up on my Facebook, he's going to come back Monday and he's going to say he has it. And sure enough, Monday, he said, yep, I've tested positive for COVID. So, I mean, he
yeah,
did exactly
oh,
what I predicted.
I've seen that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
yeah,
just,
and
it's,
you know, let
ridiculous.
Me just say this, Janet. You know, any leader, any self-proclaimed leader that says, I am your leader and I am going to lead you and I'm going to look out for the best interests of all Canadians or all Americans, any leader that doesn't address an issue such as what's going on in Ottawa right now with all the truckers and all the people who are just normal, everyday Canadians that are tired of the mandates, you won't even go out there and talk to them and address them as their leader. That makes you a tyrant. You are no longer a leader.
Exactly.
You have just entered into being a tyrant, and you need to either resign or the Canadian people need to just grab him by the shirt collar and escort him outside and say, okay, you go to wherever you need to go now. You're done now. Now we're going to elect a leader.
Yeah.
Because a leader is somebody that governs the people that has the best interest for all people, not one group or the next. It's for all people.
Exactly.
And if you don't, then
exactly.
you're a tyrant.
Exactly.
So that's
and
just
a good leader
concept.
Listens. Yeah, a good leader listens. He's not even willing to listen. You know, it's
not
ridiculous.
Only is he not only is he unwilling to listen, he criticizes the unvaccinated or he criticizes the people that are standing up for freedom because he doesn't understand what
yeah.
the word freedom means.
Yeah. Yeah. I
so,
mean, they put in the ability to get, and I use this term loosely, the ability to get a medical exemption. Well, I qualify for one of those, but I can't get it because my doctor is afraid he's going to lose his license or be suspended. I have another driver that I work with. She's allergic to the contents of the vaccine, the stuff that they put in there. She's not capable of getting a medical exemption for the same reason.
You know,
honestly, I know of another female driver that she's had adverse reactions, severe adverse reactions, and even she can't get one.
See, and that's what I was going to say is I think in a few years, we're going to find out that not only was your friend allergic, but everybody that took that vaccine was probably allergic.
Yep.
And we won't see those results
yep.
until, you know, 2, 3, 4 years from now because there is no long-term
oh,
study.
I would say even as long as 10 years from now.
Yeah,
the long-term
yeah, exactly.
effects of these, you know, you're looking at 8, 10, 12 years before you see
yep.
all of the long-term effects of these things. So,
exactly.
you know,
so,
I mean, they've got one.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, amongst the people that you talk to in Canada, what is their general consensus of how do they feel about the truckers being in Ottawa? And what do they think of all this, the mandates? And you guys have lost a lot more freedoms up in Canada than we have here in the United States. But why don't you share what the thoughts of Canadians are, everyday Canadians are?
the most of the ones I talk to are fed up. They're done with the mandates. They're done with not being able to visit, to socialize. I mean, it takes its toll mentally. Like, I'm lucky enough that I drove truck. I was out. I was seeing people. I mean, I've never been a big socializer when I'm out on the road. I'm out there to do my job, and that's what I do. But at least I was able to see people. You know, for the most part up here, everybody's been locked in the house. They can see people over, you know, over the computer or whatever, but to physically see somebody, no. No.
That's ridiculous.
You know, it just, it is, it is. And now they're talking, the news has said something to the effect, considering now of nixing the mandates, not federally, but provincially. But it's not because of the convoy. Ironically, it comes in, you know, the consideration is coming in after the convoy. And the
and I heard the premier, I heard the one premier,
the premier
in
yeah.
in the one province said he wants it lifted, but by the 28th of February. And it's like, no, we're not asking for a couple weeks or a month. Sure, you'll say, yeah, we'll lift it on the 28th. We all leave, and then guess what? The 28th comes and goes, and it's still there. When we've learned through all
yeah.
this, when you're asking and demanding for something, you stay until it's written in writing that it's gone, it's done,
yeah.
it's over with, so I don't have to come back here. Because if I come back here now, after you lied to me, we're not going to be so peaceful. So I commend the Canadians up there. They're being peaceful.
Well, and, you know, it's good because if I'm not mistaken, they've all, like all of the participants, registered participants of this, had to sign contracts. And in those contracts, it had stuff about not drinking, not doing drugs, remaining peaceful, remaining respectful. Because, of course, that is the only way they can, because technically now it's not a legal protest anymore, because I think they have like a 5-day limit and we're on day 6, you know, or day 7. I can't even, I've lost count. But the police, the local police in Ottawa aren't doing anything because everybody is doing what they're supposed to do and they're being respectful, nonviolent. All of those news blurbs about the theft from the soup kitchen, the swastika flag, there's a whole bunch of stuff. But that all happened on the weekend when anybody and everybody could be there. Blame it on the truckers because they don't know if it was them or not. Now, ironically, since Monday, there have been no incidents. What does that tell you? Come Saturday,
it's
all
peaceful.
Hell's going to break loose again, I guarantee it. Yeah.
Of course. And this time they're going to come in with reinforcements.
Well, not necessarily. From what I understand, first of all, the Ottawa police, they've gotten to know a lot of the truckers. They said that they have no problems with the convoy as long as they keep traffic open enough that people can get through. So that's
no, I wasn't talking about reinforcements by the truckers. I was talking about reinforcement from the opposition. They brought in a little faction of opposition this last weekend. You wait till this weekend.
Yeah.
You thought last weekend was rough? This weekend's going to get really rough.
Yeah. Well, but this weekend, too, there's rumor two-wheelers coming to join the rally. So,
cool.
Yeah. So it could get interesting this weekend.
Yep,
yeah,
absolutely.
There have been a lot of rumors.
Janet, thank you for calling in. I have to move on to our next caller. I have another topic I got to get to tonight.
No,
and please stay in touch with the radio show. You're welcome to call in every Thursday and give us an update if you'd like. I would love to hear that, and I know our audience would too, straight from Canada. So you're welcome to call in every Thursday night. So, okay, Janet, you have a good one, and just take care of yourself up there, all right?
All Thanks. You too. You have a great night.
All right, everybody. That was Janet from Canada. She was one of my followers on Facebook before Facebook doesn't like me anymore, and they decided to ask for a quick divorce and remove me.
Oh, boy. You didn't even get Facebook jail. You just went straight to the death chamber.
Yeah, I didn't even get a trial, man. They just gave me the death penalty. Let's get to the next caller, 9048. 9048. We're going to bring you on the air now. And let's see here. All right, 9048, we got you on the air. Who do we got on?
Hi, this is Carrie from Oregon.
Hi, Carrie.
Can you hear me okay?
I sure can. What do you want to add tonight?
Well, I just want to say thank you to you guys, and I do want to give a shout-out to the Canadian truckers up there that are doing an awesome job, and it's just giving us hope too, and knowing that you guys are starting to coordinate here in the States is just overwhelming. I'm in tears like every day over it. But I do have a question. I know that the coordinators up there are doing like Adopt a Trucker. Is that something you guys are working on?
You know, there's a lot of planning going on right now. We're trying to get the fine details hammered out. And like I said, we're now working very closely with freedomfighternation.org. RestoreLiberty.org has offered their assistance also. But after we get all the final details hammered out, like the routes, where we're going to go, what we're going to do, what we're, you know, all that, then I think mm-hmm. those questions will start being asked, and then we'll probably start putting stuff like that in place. It's a very good possibility anyway.
Okay, awesome. I just, you know, we want to be able to support, give our support in a way where we know that it's obviously going to where it's actually going to get to, instead of having funds being held hostage somewhere. So...
you actually brought up a good point, Carrie, because that's why we started working with FreedomFighterNation.org. They have a website that's set up that is completely vetted, so we know that's safe. They are all actually setting up other options for us as far as payments for fundraising. In which case, not one person on the convoy that has anything to do with the convoy will be able to access those funds. It'll go through an attorney and a CNA. So there's no questions of where that money's going, who's getting the money, who's taking the money. There's going to be no foul play. It's completely legit, and because that's the first question people ask. Oh, yeah, you guys got $5 million. Are you just taking $1 million a piece and rolling away with it?
Right.
Not this time, baby.
Right. Right, exactly.
So, yeah,
well,
we're covering
our
rear ends.
Well, absolutely. Obviously, it took a lot of coordination. You can see from with what Canada's doing, is they took a lot of time to put, you know, make sure they had all their ducks in a row and whatnot. So I really think that's awesome, and I'm glad that you guys can all, you know, come together on it, because it's just bringing so much hope to so many people. And I know Oregon, you know, we're one of the states that they just decided to make the mask a permanent mandate here. So all these kids are supposed to be in masks in school, and it's just heartbreaking for us, you know? So we got to end this.
Yeah, you guys are, you're trapped. Yeah, you're trapped.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm
no,
over
we're
it.
We're working on it, Carrie. Yeah, there's a lot of Americans that are over it, and we're working on it, Carrie, and hopefully we're successful in getting these mandates lifted so people can go back to living the way that God intended them to live, free, and do.
Amen.
You. So, Carrie,
well,
I appreciate
you
your phone call tonight.
I'll keep following. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Have a great night. All right, everybody, that was Carrie from Oregon, and I got a frog in my throat. Hello, ribbit, ribbit. Okay, I got that out of my system, I think. Yep, Breaker 19. All right, hey, let's move on with the show, shall we? Let's get to talking about the big news all over the country. Fox and Friends, Fox, Hannity, Tucker Carlson, Newsmax, all the big, let's call them the conservative mainstream media, have actually decided to cover this People's Convoy, the People's Convoy. And numerous people have been live on air, including myself and Brian Brazzi and Mike Landis. Just because we're on the air and we're the only three faces that you seem to see on the news, Trucker G, I think he's been on a couple of interviews also, by the way, does not mean that we are planners, the organizers, or whatever they want to label us. They can label us whatever they want. The fact of the matter is there is a ton of people in the background that don't necessarily want the recognition. They don't need the recognition. They just care about their country. And these people have worked tirelessly, countless hours, up late or up early. They're phenomenal people. Everybody that is working behind the scenes that don't get mentioned, each bring their own unique skill to the planning process. Those skills are, listen, they're irreplaceable. If we didn't have each moving wheel in the planning process, none of this would work the way it does. And as we move forward and we add on more groups that are planning the same thing, just need, a good alliance, and bigger and bigger. And this week it was just announced that, or today it was just announced that we merged with another group that have tens of thousands of people strong that are ready to go, not to mention freedomfighternation.org, that are a legit organization. It just gets bigger and bigger. And then we got word later this afternoon that we have not released the details of that yet. Basically because we can't release the details yet, because there's some big, when I say big, it's bigger than your mind could imagine, names that are ready to get on board with us. And This it's going to blow your mind when we do that, make that official announcement. I just promise you that. Just trust me on this. Everybody gets bent out of shape because they don't know the details. I don't know all the details yet, but all I know is that some of these names that were getting thrown out that I cannot share because otherwise it's going to ruin everything, it's beyond big. It makes you go from being, maybe the popular high school athlete to the all-star pro athlete, the Hall of Famer. That's how big it is. So just bear with us. And I know people get, just tell us. It's just not that simple. I wish it was that simple, but it just is not. So the plan, we're gonna start out in California, okay? And if any of you organizers are on listening, call in. 516-387-1733. Press the number 1 when you get through. That way I know you want to get on and you want to talk. If we can do that, that would be fantastic. I know those guys are extremely busy, and a lot of us have been up since 5, 6 o'clock this morning, and we haven't gotten a break all day. It has been like that for 4 days. It's on the phone for 13 hours, and then, catch a few hours of sleep while you're trying to do your job, and it's been a real inconvenience, I'll call it that. I don't want to call it a pain in the ass, because at the end of this, it should be worth it. But, okay, so the plan is to start out in California, and that's where the big news is going to come out of, the huge news. As Mr. Trump would say, the hugest of huge, the greatest thing ever. It's going to be big. I think we'll be able to announce that in a couple of days, I think. But anyway, so we're going to start out in California, and there's going to be I do believe right now there's two convoys, up to three, coming across the United States because we have so many main arteries. And they're going to be checkpoints along the way. Those are being set up as we speak because we have to have enough parking for the volume of people that are coming. And the volume of people that are going to be coming out of California is going to blow. This administration is going to really start looking closely at this convoy when they start seeing the number of people rolling out of California and the names that are associated with that convoy rolling out of California. It's going to give us instant credibility. And instantly they're going to be like, oh, shit, now we got a fight on our hands. And I mean that. But those checkpoints are going to get set up. And, you know, that'll be the rendezvous points. And we're working on other details surrounding those checkpoints as far as maybe entertainment, you know, for everybody joining the convoy as kind of like we'll have a little rally, you know, at one checkpoint or, you know, on the second checkpoint or however that works, where everybody can congregate and socialize and just be Americans. The best part about this whole convoy is it's not just truckers. It's moms, it's dads, it's soccer moms, it's grandparents, it's doctors, it's lawyers. It's people from all walks of life that are signing up for this. And when I say, like, people from all walks of life, I mean everybody. And it's not white people. It's not just Donald Trump supporters. It's not, you know, the media up in Canada and Trudeau have tried to, you know, label those folks up there as racist and misogynists because they won't get vaccinated, that they're against this vaccination. This isn't it at all. As a matter of fact, not only we're not against the vaccine, we're not. I mean, I wouldn't take it if I was you, but that's your business. You make your educated decision. We actually, if you want to go get the vaccine tomorrow, go get it. Have at her. I would never tell you that you should or you shouldn't. I mean, I wouldn't force you that you should or shouldn't. I mean, I'll give you my opinion. I wouldn't do it if I was you, but that's your business again. We are anti-mandates because mandates is a slippery slope, not just for vaccines, but as truck drivers, we found out with the ELD mandate. Once you allow them to do one thing, they just start chipping away at those old freedoms that you enjoyed at one time and start convincing you that it's for your safety. Just like they did with these ELDs. And this is a perfect example. Go ahead, Chris. I'm sorry.
Yeah. You know, when we first started doing the protest against the ELD mandate, for those that aren't aware, that's the electronic logging device. And the way those operate, it's basically like an ankle bracelet that a prisoner would wear. Essentially, there's all kinds of people that can log in, see your location, where you are on GPS, et cetera. And it also records how many hours you've been driving, things like that. And then what happens is, and a lot of people don't realize this, you even have to press a button to indicate that you are now going to bed, right? You have to record what they call your sleeper time. So basically you have to have a minimum of 8 hours of being in the sleeper. So like you actually have to be present in your truck and pushing a button, say, hey, I'm going to bed now. And if you get pulled in for inspection, they can go back through your logs. They can actually fine you for not having the proper amount of time in the sleeper, right? And so this is obviously just a major overreach. And when we were first leading this protest and everybody was saying this is about safety, which I'm not even going to get into how many millions of dollars Qualcomm spent on buying this legislation. And I'm not going to talk about the fact that their stock price went from $38 a share to over $150 a share right after the mandate was passed. Without getting into all that, it was never about safety. It was always about money. But one of the key arguments that I made was that if the federal government can step in and mandate that over 3.5 million citizens have to subject themselves to electronic monitoring, like they're prisoners on probation, only a matter of time before they come up with some reason that they have to track everybody. And of course, I was called a crazy conspiracy theorist. And then what happened in 2020? All of a sudden, bam, against your will, without your knowledge or consent, everybody's cell phones overnight, without being informed, was uploaded with a COVID tracker. Okay, and you can find it on your phone. I'm not real tech savvy, so I don't have all the info of how to go in and find that. But you can find it. I've done it before. And that is one of the ways they monitor people who have been potentially exposed to COVID. So just like we were saying back in 2017, 2018, 2019, it's only a matter of time before the government finds a reason to track everybody, and then bam, a virus hits, and now they're tracking everybody by their cell phones against their will. So, you know, this whole thing, yeah. I know earlier Brian talked about following a solid line of logic. Well, that is a solid line of logic. When people protested against the fuel prices, it wasn't the fair market or the free market system that was being protested. It was government manipulation of the free market that was benefiting certain people. That is what was being protested. And by the same means, when we protested against the electronic logging device, again, solid line of logic there is that we were protesting government overreach, where, once again, millions of dollars of campaign contributions flowed into the pockets of the congressman that served on the Transportation Committee. So they were living life good. I'm not even getting into the insider trading that goes on, where these congressmen, after being paid off to pass certain legislation, then go in and buy stock prices really cheap in these companies before they pass these mandates. And then, I mean, they make millions and millions of dollars off of that stock when the stock price soars because they have passed these mandates. So, again, you know, I keep telling people our government is corrupt as fuck. There's just no simpler way to say it. It is corrupt. I think we are now the largest and wealthiest banana republic in the history of the world. And you know what? Stick with the truckers. We won't steer you wrong. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, and you know, the point I was going to get at, but I sometimes I forget to let Chris speak. I forget Chris is over there. Chris has opinions and thoughts too, so I apologize. But the point I was getting at with these ELDs is they sold this to the American public that by us putting this electronic device, logging device, that's going to be staring these drivers in the face, putting more pressure on them than they already have, we're going to save 26 or 29 lives a year. And the data shows that after these ELDs come out, we went from losing 1.4 truck drivers a day to now, or 1.6 truck drivers a day to now it's 2.4 truck drivers a day. That's just in our industry. So how many people are we losing a day that has been added onto that too? If it's just an average of almost one truck driver a day, which is now it's cost 365 lives a day, nearly 365 lives a year, how many John Q Public, how many people have lost their lives because of this mandate? What people don't understand is this computer sits right in – it's not right in your face like looking out the windshield, but it's right close nearby where you have to look at it to see how many hours you have available, how many hours you got to stop, where you have to take a half-hour break, how many hours do you have left on your 70. What does it cause people to do in the trucking industry? We're gonna raise our speed limiters from 64 miles an hour up to 70 miles an hour. So now we got everybody going faster. Where, you know, like me before, I would Google Map let's say, from Chicago, Illinois to Joplin, Missouri. I would Google map it and see what it said. It's going to take you 8 hours and 46 minutes. Okay. So guess what I would do? I would write down when I started out in Chicago, 8 a.m., and I'd get on the interstate, and I'd set that cruise at 65 miles an hour. And guess what? I got spectacular fuel mileage, number one. Number two, I chilled out all day. I just drove. I wasn't trying to weave in and out of traffic like I was Jeff Gordon. And I stopped if I wanted to have a dinner or if I wanted to take a shower or take a nap or anything. I was comfortable. I wasn't stressed. And I got down to Joplin, Missouri, and I would write. It didn't matter what time I got down there. I'd write my logs that it took me 8 hours and 46 minutes to get there, regardless if I – you know, took a 2.5 or 3 hour break in between there. Yeah, I would mark that I stopped and got fuel for 15 minutes or took a half hour break. But the gist of it is I was going 65 miles an hour the whole way. And was I fibbing a little bit? Yeah, but guess what? I was being safe, using my common sense. But now the ELDs come out, and I got 70 hours for 8 days. And I want to make as much money as I can. You drive your ass off. You get that speed up. Now my fuel mileage has gone down quite drastically at first. Now I just don't care about the thing. I don't follow it. I mean, I follow it, but if there's another load to take and I don't have time, I don't give a shit. You're not paying my bills. I'm taking the load. So now I just drive, but it caused more more stress on the drivers. You got inexperienced drivers out here now that are driving way faster than what they should be because they just don't have the experience. I mean, it was a lie. It was a scam. They know it. We know it. The American people believe it. They just believe that this was here to save lives, and they still believe that. That's the problem with America. If it doesn't affect them, they don't give a shit. And part of the reason that we're having to organize a people's convoy going from California to Washington, D.C. And when we say California to D.C., what's that?
Do you remember what happened with Domino's Pizza back in the 90s?
Yeah, their pizza tasted like cardboard.
Well, without going into that, Domino's, do you remember the 30-minute guarantee? Excuse me, 30 minutes or it's free. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I sure do.
Yeah, and so it became big news in like the early to mid-90s. Because what ended up happening was the drivers, the delivery drivers for the Domino's Pizza Company, if they did not make their delivery within that 30 minutes, customer got it for free. They didn't have to pay for the pizza. And what Domino's was then doing was they were coming back and they were deducting the price of that pizza out of the delivery driver's pay. Well, this naturally put the delivery drivers under a whole lot of pressure to get those deliveries done in absolutely no less than 30 minutes. So that they wouldn't get docked pay. Well, that led to a big rise in the number of accidents involving Domino's Pizza delivery drivers. The federal government got involved in it. The news media broke the story. They started talking about it. They started collecting data and numbers and talking about all these big car crashes that were happening with Domino's delivery drivers trying to beat that 30-minute guarantee so that they wouldn't be losing money. And the federal government got involved, and they basically put a lot of pressure on Domino's. And basically what the conclusion was that they arrived at was that this whole idea of putting drivers on a timer to avoid financial penalty was a really, really bad idea, and it was causing accidents. And they more or less bullied Domino's into dropping that requirement, basically saying, well, you know, you can do that 30-minute guarantee if you want, but you can't be going back and docking the delivery drivers because you're causing them to rush and to drive recklessly, and they're crashing into people and cars and other things. And so they pretty much made Domino's drop that, right? And they said it's a bad idea. And then some years later, a bunch of tech companies got together, shoveled a few million dollars in cash to a handful of congressmen that sat on the Transportation Committee and convinced them, hey, we're going to make this electronic device. You should make it mandatory for people to buy, and we're going to put truckers on a timer. And bam, just like that, putting drivers on a timer became a good idea. It was no longer a bad idea that causes people to drive more aggressively. Now it's a good idea because we're making big bank off of it. And then lo and behold, what do? They pass the mandate. They put drivers of 80,000-pound vehicles. Forget your little Toyota Camry that used to deliver your pizza. Now we got guys in 75-foot-long, 80,000-pound trucks, and they're on a timer. Now they're driving aggressively to avoid losing money. And, of course, the accidents increased. The number of injuries increased. The number of deaths increased. But we're just not going to talk about that because they're continuing to take money from the tech companies that wanted to mandate this technology.
Yeah. Yep. No, that's it. That's it in a nutshell. Yeah, yeah. But, yeah, you got all off course off there. Man, I was just trying to get onto the convoy. I mean, what the hell? Jesus. I'm just kidding. We do that. We're squirrels over here. I mean, we'll be on one side of the road, and then we'll run to the middle, and then we'll go back to the left, and then we'll decide we want to go back to the other side. And then, yeah, we're all over the place. That's because we eat too much nuts during the day, right? Or is that just you, Chris?
No, nuts are too. I get all my bad nutrients from beer, unfortunately.
Yeah, I do too. My high school teacher always said that I was going to grow up to the. You're never going to grow up and amount to anything. I proved them wrong. I seen my teacher at the bar here about 3 weeks ago, and I said, you know, remember when you told me that I was going to grow up and I wasn't going to amount to anything? She said, yeah, I remember that. I said, you were wrong. I'm an alcoholic now. No, I'm just kidding. Come on, calm down. Anyway,
you know what? My teacher didn't even try to make a guess on what I was going to become because, even back then I was just that unpredictable.
Yeah. Well, you know, honestly, I was hoping that we were going to get a couple of those guys to call in tonight, but it's understandable, honestly. And we will eventually here in the upcoming weeks leading up to our convoy across the country. This isn't just California to Washington, D.C. This is all 48 of the states here, all collectively going to Washington, D.C. We're just starting it. We're kicking it off in D.C., and again, trust me, when we announce the kickoff, you are going to be like, holy shit, this just got real. But the planning is absolutely insane. You know, my dad called me today. He says, well, when you guys get there, you're going to need food and water. And yeah, we know that. And we're working on that. It's funny.
Don't forget
we're truck drivers. Well, hold on. I'm getting there now. You just calm down over there. It's funny that we're all truck drivers, you know. So, number one, I pull a reefer. What is a reefer? A reefer is a refrigerated trailer. And I can haul roughly 44,600 pounds, and I'll be 80,000 pounds gross. And that's legal. That means I can put 44,600 pounds of pork chops or hamburger or whatever the hell I need in the back of this trailer, keep it refrigerated. And we can be completely self-sufficient. And I'm just one truck. And guess what? A lot of my friends, they pull flatbeds or step decks. We're going to strap a bunch of big-ass grills on there. Like, I mean big grills. And guess what? Now we got grills to cook the hamburger. Well, we're going to need LP, right? Well, then we'll have to have one of our dry vans load his trailer up with LP tanks. And you know what? Now we got the gas to run the grill and the food to put on the grill. And then you said the porta potties. Well, we've already got that covered. You know why we got that covered? Because of our experience in Washington, D.C. in May of 2020. We got down to D.C. in May of 2020 not even thinking about bathrooms, not thinking about long-term. We never thought we were going to be down there for 21 straight days. Well, we were down there. It wasn't 2 or 3 days, and we realized we had a big problem. And we ended up getting porta-potties brought in on little trailers. So they were mobile. So guess what? Now we know that we can get porta-potties on little trailers that can just hook up to one of the pickups in the convoy. Not one of the pickups, but numerous pickups, and we get to haul around porta potties. So people got bathrooms, and then we'll have everything that we need to be self-sufficient in a rolling convoy, fuel tanker trucks, all that has been established. We've got it all covered. The actual, if you think about the sheer amount of planning that goes into this, the amount of people that are taking 13, 14, 15, 16 hours a day to plan it, to get all this lined up, the stops, calling the stops and asking, you know, if we can roll in there with, you know, 1,000 trucks or 1,000 vehicles, and what, you know, what would they do for us if they supported us or if we supported them, and, you know, selling us fuel at cost. It's absolutely, this is America. If you were on the phone calls with some of these people talking and telling me about, you know, this person is going to do that and that person is going to do this organization is going to do this and this group over here wants to do that, you get to see true America. That is America. So even if you're left or right, it doesn't matter. If you're tired of what you see going on in this country, and including both sides, because I will not sit here and say that one side is definitely better than the other one. Well, I shouldn't say that. I should say that there's one side that ain't doing any wrong, because they're both doing wrong. Some of them are sellouts. Some of them have been bought out by big pharma, big corporations. They take special interest money and lobbying money, and they do what they need to do to fill their pockets and get to live in the nice homes and drive the nice cars. Meanwhile, they look in the camera and tell you how much they love you, and they want to, you know, they want to pet your children's hair. But that's what they are. They're crooks. They're manipulating crooks. But there are some decent politicians that really do care what they do for their job on both sides of the aisle. I really truly believe that. But herein lies the problem. When I see these politicians voting party lines, no matter what, every time, that pisses me off, because you know that not all of these, all this stuff is good for America. What Senator Manchin and Senator Sinema did from Arizona, and Manchin's from West Virginia, going against the Democratic Party's push to get rid of the filibuster, was, in my opinion, getting instant respect from me, because getting rid of that filibuster is a very, very bad move for America on both sides of the aisle. I know the left was cheering it on only because it benefited them in the short run. But they have to remember, the left used it over 250 times the last year Trump was in office. So 250 times in 1 year, okay? So now imagine you get rid of that filibuster. The next time a president is elected that you really don't like, and you want some of their measures stopped, their legislation stopped, their ideas stopped, and you don't have that filibuster to stop them anymore, you're pushing for a frickin' civil war, because that's going to piss people off beyond the boiling point. And that, I truly believe that's what this administration wanted. Looking at things, all the things that they do, it's just like, it makes zero sense. They're failing to us. But are they succeeding to them on their agenda? We don't know what their agenda is. We just know it's not good for America. But, boy, I tell you what, I get off on a rant sometimes, and then I forget how I was even going with it. But
you fucking crazy, man. You sound insane. Do you realize that? You should be medicated.
Yes, I do. No, yes, I do. And yes, I should. Oh, yeah.
Something's
I tell you what.
Around here.
Yeah, that's exactly right, sir. but this convoy, the sheer amount of planning going involved, and the groups coming together and offering their support and telling us, you know, their resources. Ladies and gentlemen, when I tell you this is going to be huge, this is going to be one of the biggest things this country has seen for a very, very, very long time. And I am honored and humbled to be a part of this and to stand up for freedom, to stand up against people that are taking our children's rights away, their freedoms away. People think, oh, just go get the vaccine and this will all be over with. Man, are you listening to yourselves? These are the same people that you're listening to that told you 15 days to flatten a curve, and 2 years later, now we're mandating shit. You think it's going away? You allowed them to start chipping away at your freedoms, your personal freedoms, your God-given freedoms, and if you think they're going to stop at that, you're dead wrong. I'm going to be the first one to tell you, and I'm not going to sit back so I can have that moment of, I told you so, because when I have to tell you I told you so, it's going to be too late for me too. So I'm not going to sit back and let that happen. I'd rather listen to your bitching, whining, pissing, and complaining while I'm standing up for your freedoms also and try to preserve this country and its freedoms and the Constitution. Even though you don't understand it yet, that's fine. I have no problem with that, and I don't mind taking your criticism or your threats because it doesn't bother me anymore. It used to bother the shit out of me, but it doesn't no more. Now I just take it with a grain of salt. And now I just think, I don't give a shit what you think. If you look, and when you find out how many people actually support the ideology that I just shared with you, my opinion, my thoughts, when you see how many people actually support that ideology and those thoughts, you better ask yourself a question. Jesus, maybe he's right. And really, really turn around and start thinking about it a little bit. Remember that. Remember this conversation. But anyway, this is going to be massive. It's going to be epic. It's going to be – the dictionary hasn't even created a word for what this is going to be yet. Let's just put it that way. And after this is all over, I want an interstate all the way across this country renamed the Freedom Convoy Highway. That's what I want it renamed. So this country can remember the beautiful thing that happened that day when we all came to that week or that 10 days or that 20 days or that 30, whatever it is, whatever it turns out to be, when this country came together as one and we told a tyrannical federal government that we're done with their draconian measures, their draconian totalitarian mandates and ideology. When we have people from all races, the Cuban Americans, the Punjabis, the Sikhs, the Eastern Europeans, the Polish. Just plain old American, good old white boys, the good old black boys, everybody from every race, creed, color, ethnic group, religious background, sexual orientation, whether they're gay, lesbian, straight, bisexual, transgender, doesn't matter. When they all stand up together, we do this together, and we take back this country, and we tell the government, go fuck yourself. We're done with your bullshit. And we do it in peace and unity. Just because I said go fuck yourself doesn't mean we have to get violent. It just means I'm telling you to go fuck yourself. But we can do that together. We can stand together as one, as brothers and sisters. no matter what color you are, no matter what religion you are, no matter what your political affiliation is or your beliefs, we can stand together for that period of time as Americans. Not as a Democrat, not as a Republican. Americans. And I'm going to warn each and every one of you, moving on, moving forward, that the media is going to come out and they are going to sink to a very low level. They are going to try to discredit every single person that has their face out there or name out there. They are going to say things about them that are absolutely horrible. They're going to make accusations about them. They're going to try to defame them. They're going to do whatever they can to discredit these people as the days move forward. Remember, focus on the prize. Focus on the finish line. Do not listen to the mainstream media. They are a joke. They are paid puppets. And they will do and say anything that their bosses and their masters tell them. And I hope at the end of this, they understand what they've done to this country. And I hope that they have to pay for that, however that may be. And that is my rant for the night. Chris, I am going to turn it over to you and let you go ahead and do your monologue for the night and let you just say whatever is on your mind, thoughts about this. And again, before you go, I just want to say I apologize to our audience. The other organizers couldn't get on tonight. Seriously, behind the scenes, you wouldn't believe how crazy busy they are. They're getting pulled in a million different directions. So just be patient, and I promise you, we'll get them on here in the near future. So, Chris, I'm going to leave the mic up to you, my brother, and I'm going to let you go on a 10-minute tear here because I know you're good at that, and you got a lot of thoughts you want to get out there, and it's only fair after my little ordeal there.
Well, I'll tell you what. Yeah, I got a little bit of activity going on in the house here. Mama's home, and the dog's been going a little bit crazy, but he's starting to calm down now. But, people don't realize how much is really and truly involved in putting together a convoy of this size. And yeah, there's absolutely a lot more people behind the scenes. You know, we've got three or four guys that are the face of the movement that are going on, you know, Tucker Carlson, Sean Hannity, Newsmax, Fox and Friends in the Morning. You know, they're seeing you guys. You guys are kind of the face of the movement. But, yeah, there is a lot happening in the background. You've covered most of that, you know. You can't just move that kind of volume of trucks down the road without a whole lot of planning. You know, you've got to figure out what truck stops along the way, along that route, are going to be able to accommodate this sudden huge influx of trucks that are coming in, you know, with so many more than they're normally used to accommodating. You know, they have to make orders for additional food and everything else. They have to make sure that they have employees staffed for that day, you know, so that they can have enough employees to manage the demand, you know. And like you said, too, I mean, everything from barbecue grills, food supplies, toilet paper, you know, porta potties. Yeah, it's a huge undertaking. It's a huge amount of planning to get one of these things done. And yeah, hats off to everybody, especially in the logistical support committee, you know, that is digging in there and doing that. And I think it's awesome that a lot of these places that are doing that are also making the deals. And you mentioned this too, that, you know, a lot of them are actually going to be giving drivers fuel at cost. So they're not actually going to be making any profit off of the fuel sales, just to support everybody. But even when we get to D.C., you know, it's going to be even more hectic there because now, you know, there's not a really big amount of truck stops available in the immediate area around D.C. And so now you're starting to get into, you know, we have to plan because it is winter time, you know, winter slash early spring. we have to get into trucks are going to have to idle to provide heat for the people staying inside. Now we got to get into bringing a fuel truck, a mobile fuel truck that can go down the line and start fueling these trucks. I mean, it's just a huge undertaking. People think that it's just something that you can do on a whim. Hey, let's just get a bunch of trucks together and convoy down the road. And no, it's not. It takes a huge amount of planning. And, and that's the one thing I'd like to say for anybody that's out there in these groups that's offering your suggestions of, instead of going to D.C., we should just go here. We should just go there. We should do this. We should do that. You know what? Your suggestions are appreciated, but we can't just do this by the seat of our pants. It's a huge amount of planning. And we're not just going to change it up every time somebody suggests something different. And trust me, if there's 1,000 people that are following a group, there's 1,000 people with a different idea of what should be done. So ultimately, we have to go with the consensus on organizing this. We have to make these plans in advance. So please understand that if we're not following something you suggested, it's not that we don't like your idea or that you're not important. It's just that there has to be a single plan, and that single plan has to be planned for, and it involves a huge amount of people. And we can't just change it every day because someone had a really good suggestion on the Facebook comment section. Kind of get that out there. And the other thing, and I just want to bring this up because I see this happen all the time, especially in the social media platforms. Every time something big like this happens, everybody jumps on these pages, and suddenly they think that Facebook group is their personal place that they can go and share a really cool meme or an outrageous article. And eventually, as we get closer to the day of starting a big operation, what has to happen, because the people that are on that page, believe it or not, you got a page of 100 or 200,000 followers or more. Believe it or not, those people are not there to see your really cool, your really funny meme. They're actually there to get information about the event that they want to participate in or support. So whenever the admins come in and announce that, okay, we are now no longer allowing everyone to post things freely so that we can get the information about this event out there, well, that's when you start getting the people posting, oh, this is a dictatorship. Oh, gosh, I'm going to go somewhere where there's freedom of speech. Okay, great. Go. Bye. No need to announce your departure. This isn't a train station. People are not there to see your funny joke. They're not there to see the article that you think is outrageous about something happened that if you were to take the time and look, 57 other people have posted that same damn article in the last hour. That's not what people are in the groups for. They are in that group to get the information they need to participate. So save us your speeches about free speech and dictatorships and blah, blah, blah. If you want to start a page where you can share the memes that you think are the coolest, great. Go out and start a page, post a bunch of memes on it, and try to get 500,000 people to follow it. Okay, best of luck to you. But people are on these convoy groups to get information about the convoy. They don't care what meme you think is funny. Everybody here is perfectly capable of finding funny memes on the internet. It's not hard. I swear it's not. So that is my rant for the evening. Be patient. Follow these convoy groups, the People's Convoy and the others that are out there that are also sharing information. And go on those groups for the right reason. To be informed of what you need to know to be a participant in that group, okay? Save your memes for some other group. And, that's about all I have right now. Now, I am going to say I got a song I'm going to throw out here to end the night, and Well, it's just about 3 minutes long. So I'll let you take song on the air.
Yeah. I got a few things to say before. We're going to go over the 2 hours just a little bit here tonight. Sometimes we do three, sometimes we do two. But, since I'm so busy, we're going to try to keep it at or just a little bit, above 2 hours. I want to touch on what you said there. People think, you know, everybody has an opinion. You always have to realize that you're not always going to agree with what one does or what doesn't do, or you're not always going to understand the reason why a date has changed, and because you haven't heard all the details yet. It's always so important when something happens that you disagree with and they say, just please give me a little time so I can explain it to you, let them explain it to you. Because trust me, the explanation will blow your freaking mind sometimes. And sometimes their explanation is, no, screw you, dude, we're not doing that. And then you move on to the day. But this, the explanation coming out is of why the dates were changed for the convoy. You'll understand. And all we're asking is just please try to understand. Be a little patient. This isn't a McDonald's drive-thru. You're not going to get your Big Mac in 2 minutes. You're not, you know, I know everybody's impatient. Everybody is, like, their frustration is boiled over. But this, we're talking 1 week here, folks. And this 1 week is going to make the difference between being maybe successful to we're going to be damn close to be successful before we even take off on the convoy. That's how big this is because of the names involved. But we cannot leak out those names just yet because they have to get their organization done here within the next couple of days. And as soon as they announce it, you guys are going to be like, holy shit, again. And like Chris said, if you think you are a better organizer or you can do this better, go out and try. I dare you. I dare you. You put a team of people together and go out and try and dedicate the time, the blood, sweat, and tears that these folks have done, that sacrifice away from their families to do this. And it's not for them. What are they? They don't get nothing out of the of this. At the end of the day, they don't get nothing. You know what they get? The same freedoms they're fighting for you. So get on board and be supportive, or just stay out of it. It's simple. Goddamn critical all the fucking time. You know? Just trust the fact that there's a bunch of like-minded individuals in the background working for you that are taking sacrifices for you. And what do you think the federal government's going to do to those people that put this all together if we aren't successful? They're going to come at us with everything they got, and they're going to make the rest of our lives a living hell. And you know what? We're willing to take that because it's not right. And the fact that I even said that the government would do that to us in a free country where we have a constitution that protects our right of freedom of speech and a peaceful assembly to organize, that our government would actually think about doing that to us? If that ain't your first fucking clue that you're living in a tyrannical government, I don't know what the hell's going to get through your head. I don't know what it's going to take for something to get through your head. I just don't get it. But on that note, Chris, let's wrap it up. Thank you all for joining. God bless each and every one of you. We'll talk to you next Thursday.
Yeah, Breaker 19, and this here's the Rubber Duck. You got a copy on me, Big Pin, come on. Yeah, 10-4, Big Pin, for sure, by golly, it's clean clear to Flagtown, come on. Yeah, it's a big 10-4 there, Big Pin, yeah, we've definitely got a front door, good buddy. Mercy sakes alive, looks like we got us a convoy.
It was the dark of the moon on the 6th of June, and a Kenworth pulling logs. Cab over Pete with a reefer on, and a Jimmy hauling hogs. We was headed for Bear on I-10, about a mile out of Shaky Town. I said, Big Pen, this here's a rubber duck, and I'm about to put the hammer down.
Tonight,
and this here's the duck, and you want to back off them hogs? 10-4 Roger, about 5 miles or so. 10 Roger, them hogs is getting intense up here.
By the time we got into Tulsa Town, we had 85 trucks in all. But there's a roadblock up on the Cloverleaf, and them bears is wall to wall. Yeah, them Smokies was thick as bugs on a bumper. They even had a bear in the air. I says, calling all trucks, says, here's the duck. We're about to go a-hunting bear.
Negatory, Big Ben, you're still too close. Yeah, them hogs are starting to close up my sinuses. First he thinks you better back off another 10.
Well, we rolled up Interstate 44 like a rocket sled on rails. We tore up all of her swindle sheets and left them setting on the scales. By the time we hit that Chi-Town, them bears is a-getting smart. They brought up some reinforcements from the Illinois National Guard. There was armored cars and tanks and jeeps and rigs of every size. Yeah, them chicken coops was full of bears and choppers filled the skies. But we shot the line and we went for broke with 1,000 screaming trucks and 11 long-haired Friends of Jesus and a chartreuse microbus.
Yeah, Rubber Duck, this is Sodbuster. Come on, yeah, 10-4 Sodbuster. Listen, you want to put that microbus in behind that suicide jockey? Yeah, he's holding dynamite. He needs all the help he can get.
Well, we laid a strip for the Jersey Shore and prepared to cross the line. I could see the bridge was lined with bears, but I didn't have a doggone dime. I says, Big Ben, this here's a rubber duck. We just ain't gonna pay no toll. So we crashed the gate doing 98. I said, let them truckers roll. 10-4.
Buddy,